7 of the 2 substitutes. We had an episode last time, but it ended up only on Spotify and also was bad quality due to some Windows issues. But we are back and I'm joined once again by Akshay. Akshay, welcome back.
Hi, Varun.
Welcome back to episode 7, official 7.
Thank you. Yeah, last week was not fun.
Yes.
Dealing with Windows recorder and just recording on Windows.
Yeah. But how was your week so far?
Week is going well. A lot of things to do at work and footballing wise, it's calm because of international game week.
Calm and boring. About to get boring.
Yeah.
Nothing to look forward to in the weekend. Yes, we said it. We don't care about international break.
Yeah, it's really hard to get motivated for those games, no matter the games themselves and teams that are playing. It's just not something that you can get on board with.
No, yeah. So maybe in this episode, then we'll not have to preview the upcoming week. We can do that next week, but just review the games that were had last weekend. Yeah. Let's start with the big game.
Liverpool Man City.
Very interesting game. Very entertaining game also. Well, ended up being 2-2, which helped Chelsea. We are not top of the league. I had to say it. But coming back to the game, had some brilliant moments by some individual players. Salah scored that beautiful goal. That reminded me of Hazard's goal against Liverpool. I don't know if you remember that goal. But twisting and turning around players in the box and scoring. Salah scored from his weak foot, which was also good to see. I think he caught Laporte off guard because he was preparing for Salah to come back inside. But he never did. And yeah, he is currently right now, it looks like in the form of his life. Seems like one of the best players in Europe at least, or in the world right now.
Yeah, he had a brilliant game and the consistency that he's showing this week or this season is incredible. And yeah, he's keeping up with numbers. He always ends up scoring in the Champions League, also in the league. And yeah, at this point, it'll be hard to find any other player who's better than him at right wing.
Yeah.
Even great if goal. And he has those moments where he's just unplayable. Like, you can't stop him. And the goal was Messi-esque.
Yeah, exactly.
It's you're single-handedly taking on defenders and scoring.
And even if you didn't notice a lot of him during the match, but those players like him can come up with these moments. Even for the was the first goal he assisted, right, to Mane.
Yeah, like that was a brilliant run as well.
Yeah, I know Cancelo was not too good defensively in that moment, but the run from Salah was really good.
Yeah, he was so quick to capitalize on that mistake where he stuck his foot out and that gave Salah all the space to run in behind.
Yeah.
And once he skipped past him, it was unstoppable and he found the right pass for Mane and he scored.
People were all, after that happened or after the game, people were all once again talking about his contract situation at Liverpool. why Liverpool are not giving him the contract. He's asking for a lot of money compared to Liverpool's wage structure, I think. Mm-hmm. And they are not willing to reach his quota yet, or his preferred wage quota yet. Makes sense. I can understand both the situations also. He's also 30 years old. Even though he's a great player, I don't know if any other team in Europe will want to have him, especially the teams who could traditionally want to have him are struggling right now. Mm-hmm. As we know, Real Madrid and Barcelona and doldrums. Maybe only PSG has the capacity, but even they they have Messi in that position, so
they have Messi, Di Maria, like two players in that position. And for Salah, yeah, I think new contract for him is very important and might be his last big contract before he sort of like starts to wind down in his career, now being at 30. But right now, I think he can demand what he wants. And for Liverpool, I think it's a good problem to have where you have one of the best players in that position and you're negotiating with him who is happy to play for the club and he has delivered in big moments too. He is someone who has always scored no matter what the opposition is, no matter what the competition is.
So like, yeah, it's a strange situation. I mean, I still don't understand why one of our colleagues doesn't rate Salah, especially after what he has done. But coming back to the game, City started this game really well. They should have, in my opinion, I think they should have won this game because they were doing to Liverpool what they did to Chelsea in the last game also, especially in the first half
was amazing by Man City. They didn't score, but they had chances. I think Foden had a very good chance, which he took a bit of time to
take. Is that the one where Bernardo Silva also did a lot of tricks and got around like four or five Liverpool players?
He set him up, but he took that extra bit of second that gave the goalkeeper a chance to come out of his line and narrowed all of his angles. And for City, amazing first half and should have scored in the first half and should have won the game as well. But it's just both of these teams are so physically and ready for like battling out until like 30th or 90th minute.
And you could see both of them wanted to win the game, especially in second half. I think Klopp definitely told Liverpool players a lot of things like to turn up. I think he said something about that in the post-match conference also, like because you were giving City too much respect or something of that sort.
Yeah, he said they were not playing football in the first half. Mm. And it's amazing to see both of these managers who are interested in playing football and both were happy with the result and both like praised their players a lot and they said like they're proud of their players with the way they played. And for Klopp, he said that they didn't play football in the first half and in the second half they did. Which is like simple in terms of words, but not many managers say that. Where they were just like trying to go along because City were pressing them so high and they were not allowing them to have any time and space on the ball. And they ended up going long, but against City, it's really hard to do anything when they are in full flow.
I think Liverpool were missing Trent Alexander-Arnold a lot. You could see not just his defensive, like maybe mostly because of his attacking ability and his passing ability, because they were missing someone who could pass like him. And I don't know if you saw this incident, but Milner should have been sent off. And Guardiola was really angry at the touchline when that incident happened.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, he should have been sent off. I think like many would doubt that. But VAR didn't come into play that time. Because I think it was a confirmed decision by on-field ref. And that's why like VAR wasn't brought into picture. That's what they said, at least after the game. Just hard to believe that they couldn't intervene after seeing even the replays, but they stuck with the on-field umpire's decision. And there was no red card, otherwise it would have been a different game altogether. And I think had he been sent off, Man City would have won the game,
right?
But we got an entertaining game, like full 90 minutes. It was very entertaining. And towards the end, when it became more of a end-to-end affair and both teams were going for it. And in the end, it ended up being 2-2.
2-2,
And for City too, I think they were playing away and it's a good result for them. They had tough games.
Especially, they took 4 points from two away games against the teams, top two teams. So they'll feel happy. For City also, Foden played really well. He scored again. He scored against Liverpool at Anfield. I think mm-hmm. this is the second time he scored. Last season also he scored. So he's a good like a talented youngster. Let's see how far he can go for England. I wish seeing him play makes me jealous that we Callum Hudson-Odoi has that similar potential, but so he is not fulfilled that potential yet.
Yeah, for him some it's reason. Tricky. Like we'll I think maybe like move on to Chelsea.
Yeah, now we can
moment. But yeah, for him
he played Southampton.
He a lot was expected from him when Bayern Munich was interested in signing him and since then he hasn't progressed at all. Like he is not getting too much of game time and even though Chelsea are winning, it really makes it difficult for these young to come people who are like sidelined because like you have
makes me feel sad for them also. I don't know what it is. If I do feel like some maybe it doesn't have that kind of motivation to personally try to progress a lot, but he is a good enough player to like it falls down to the coach also to get him game time in his position. Like he has been playing at right wing back, which is not really his preferred position. But against Southampton, he finally started in his place, a preferred position at left wing. And Tuchel also surprised everyone when he picked like a very different looking midfield. It looked like a dynamic midfield. If you remember last time we were talking about how the midfield looked flat. But in this game, he picked Loftus-Cheek, Kovacic. Trevor Chalobah was at right... No, Trevor Chalobah was another midfield player, I think. He was the centre-back.
Right?
Yes, Chalobah, Thiago Silva and Rudiger were the centre-backs. Azpilicueta as the right-wing-back, Chilwell on the left. And Loftus-Cheek, Kovacic were in the midfield. I don't know who the third player was. Loftus-Cheek, Kovacic and then Lukaku and... Werner started in attack. So it was a dynamic midfield. Oh yeah, actually I got everyone. So yeah. And Hudson-Odoi, Werner and Lukaku up front. So Werner starting on the right hand side. So yeah, we started off well. Everyone was Loftus-Cheek especially I'm really impressed by and Trevor Chalobah who got us started with the first goal. Trevor Chalobah, every time he has played, has looked very comfortable on the ball. His passing has been good and his defensive. Like, he doesn't look like a young player at all. He looks like someone who has been playing for a long time. And I'm happy to see Loftus-Cheek getting chances again at Chelsea. But this game was good to see. I'm happy that we won. There was one instance which I was, again, I don't know how VAR works anymore. Did you see this Werner goal? That should have been a goal and it was disallowed because of some incident 18 seconds ago.
No, I didn't see the first half of this game. I saw the second half, I think, from the point when Ward-Prowse was sent off or just before
That was, let's quickly talk about that red card. I think it's a red card. But it was also a bad pass from goalkeeper to Jorginho. But the way Ward-Prowse tackled it, like it, he deserved a red card for that.
Yeah, I mean, these are like incidences where you can say like both. You can see them given. You can also see them like not given in some cases. So it's...
But if you see the tackle...
I think like he was going for the ball and there was a bad pass and he had... I mean, he should have gone for it. Maybe like he.
Yeah, I agree. He should have gone for it. But what happened with the tackle? Like, if you look at the tackle, I felt like it was. He could have seriously injured Jorginho with that tackle. But the VAR thing I was talking about was in the first half. Azpilicueta, I don't even that was a soft foul. Tuchel talked about it in the post-match interview, like how this season. Referees are trying to be more lenient towards tackles, right?
Yeah.
But this tackle was where they should have been lenient. It was a very soft tackle. 18 seconds before the goal happened.
Wow.
everyone had time to reset. Southampton defense had time to reset. Mm-hmm. And then Werner scored a goal from, scored a header from Callum Hudson-Odoi's cross. And then referee gave the goal. Then he got told by VAR or something. And then he went back. He found nothing. And then he went back more, 18 seconds before the incident, and saw this tackle by Azpilicueta.
Wow. And yeah, then that's strange. And
that's clearly ridiculous, man. This is
There should be like a reset time when like
18 seconds is like you can just cross two like the field two times. 18 seconds. Like, what was that? Poor. I felt for Werner. At least he managed to score a goal, but I count it as two goals for him. Even though this stat doesn't really matter that much, but there was a stat saying that Werner has actually scored 16 goals that have not been allowed, which is the highest by anyone since he came. And it doesn't really matter. They were still not goals. This the first goal that he scored in this game should have been a goal, but wasn't given. I was very angry at that. Tuchel got a yellow card for that also because he was so angry. But you said you watched the second half, right?
Yeah.
So that pass from Ross Barkley was out of nowhere. That was really good.
Oh, yeah. That was a brilliant bit of play from Ross Barkley. He came on from the bench and
I never thought he would immediately have that
impact. And
I never thought he would get a chance again at Chelsea, especially after his off-field antics that were happening. Him and Drinkwater were in the news for the wrong reasons. If you remember.
Yeah. And at the time when he did it, I think it was 1-1.
Yeah,
and
it was 1-1.
Crucial point of the game where he was
changed
able
the game
to,
basically. So his pass.
Open it up basically. Yeah. And then.
That type of goal I see Man City score a lot.
Switch of play and then.
Quick switch of play also. And SP also with the first time cross.
Mm-hmm.
Double X cross on Xbox to Werner, and Werner scored. Maybe Werner, when he has too much time to think, he can't really do much. But that time, he didn't know what except to put his foot through the ball and score. But that was a good bit of play. And then the Chilwell goal was also strange. It hit the bar so many times.
Yeah.
I think Lukaku hit the bar first, right?
Yeah, Lukaku hit the bar.
Then Azpilicueta hit the bar.
It fell to Azpilicueta. He hit the bar. And then... Chilwell just took a volley. I felt like he's just, going for it.
Yeah.
Going for the jugular, but it did go in.
Timed it well, though. And then it looked like goalkeeper had saved it, but thankfully the goal line technology helped us that time. Goal line technology is the one technology no one can argue with, except for that one incident we remember from last 2 years ago when Aston Villa could have been relegated because of that.
Oh, yeah. But they were not using it that time, right?
No. Goal line technology was... But that was the one incident that was never tested. So you can blame QEs for that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
One scenario where just no one tested that scenario for goal line technology. But overall, I was happy. Especially now that we are top of the league also. We needed this win after two consecutive losses. There's still a lot of things we need to work on. I think maybe Lukaku, I think he's still contributing towards the overall play of Chelsea, but it would be nice to have him score more goals. For the fantasy league players who have brought him.
For fantasy league players too, and also in the media, I think like you immediately then start questioning if any top striker is not scoring for...
Yeah. And then they'll start bringing up £98 million, this and that.
He's unhappy or it's not working for him. Or
Antonio Conte, I don't know if you saw, came out and said Chelsea are not using Lukaku in the right way.
I see.
Because in some way, I do agree with him. You have to, because he got the best out of Lukaku at Inter Milan.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying like, so Lukaku, people usually think, even Lukaku said this, that people think he's not quick, but he is actually a very quick player over long distance. So if you give him space to run into from halfway line, he'll actually beat anyone. Mm-hmm. And he has the composure to finish also. So they have to find that run for him.
Yeah, I feel like he needs one physical playmaker or someone who can... laid off for him as well.
Yeah.
Like, with Werner, he's a different type of striker. Like, he likes to run in behind. And Lukaku is also kind of that.
That,
like,
yeah.
He's not like a typical hold-up striker.
Yeah, he's not like Giroud. Think,
like,
yeah.
Where because of his size and fitness, like people think
yeah,
that
they
he
have the
is
wrong impression.
Like, that type of player, but he is more sort of like who likes to run in behind
and
as well.
Dribble,
and, yeah, and then use his physical power to actually beat defenders
yeah,
and like
but
hold them off, but not
bully,
like
yeah.
being a target man, right?
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, he needs someone who can also hold the ball up well for him.
Loftus Cheek maybe can do the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think yeah, it's still early days for him. He has definitely improved from his days at Manchester United. So
right, and also in some games, I think he was playing as a lone striker, and that also
yeah.
is something that he is not used to recently. So he's been playing with another striker,
yeah.
and that also like makes a difference. And against I think Man City, where he struggled. He was pretty much like isolated and there was not
yeah.
much
and
for him to do. So.
And if you remember, I think when Loftus-Cheek and some younger midfielders came in onto the pitch in the second half, like later
mm-hmm.
on against Man City, he was getting more chances.
Yeah.
So it's still early days, but I'm hopeful. He's still a quality player. Let's talk about... so remember when we said Arsenal were ahead of Spurs? They seem to be exchanging places somehow. Ranieri. Espirito Santo got his win against who did?
Aston Villa,
which was surprising actually. I think both of us predicted Aston Villa to do better. Or
yeah, I think I was going for a draw or maybe an Aston Villa win, but Spurs won the game and a big win for them because. Their manager was under tremendous pressure
yeah.
with three consecutive losses and they stopped it now with a win against Aston Villa, who are also doing pretty well in the league. And
yeah,
I didn't see the game, but I think Heung-min Son is, as usual, like
he has
coming
been,
up.
Yeah, even when
Harry
Kane doesn't seem to perform, Heung-min Son has been the better consistent player.
Yeah, like, and another game for Harry Kane without a goal.
Yeah. So Ollie Watkins equalized for Aston Villa, but then unfortunately for Matt Target, it was a good cross, and then Matt Target put the ball in his own net for an own goal. Thankfully, I didn't have him in my fantasy, but Spurs got the needed win for them. And for Arsenal, they swapped places, like we said. Arsenal and Brighton, we knew it was going to be tough. Brighton are strong
mm-hmm.
defensively. They proved that again this game. Think.
Yeah, Brighton should have won the game. They were the better team and couldn't finish like we talked last time too, where
yeah.
they need someone who can finish reliably. And if that doesn't happen, they end up losing points. But they do certainly create a lot of chances.
Yeah.
And it's the matter of finding someone who can score the goal for them. And they had, I think, Welbeck was missing. Maybe if they had him, would have been a different result. But yeah, they had tons of chances in the game.
Yeah. Brighton, Graham Potter, their manager, deserves a lot of credit for what he has done.
Yeah, I think they have a good system and that's
yeah.
what people want to see, where you can rely on the system
yeah.
to create chances for you or create scenarios
yeah.
or
if only they can get
2v1 situations
yeah.
or like few situations like that. And they were so good that we were not able to do anything. I think it appeared as if they had like 12 men on the pitch.
Mm.
They were covering pretty much everyone and we couldn't play out from the back. And when we went long, they had Dan Byrne and who else?
Big
like
defenders.
Shane Duffy, like big defenders with Aubameyang, a friend who cannot win headers. So even if we were kicking it long, it would again come back to
yeah.
us because their defenders will win it, get it down for midfielders and again like another attack for us. So it was very hard for us to control. We didn't have a few shots. I think Smith Rowe he managed to get a shot on target.
Yeah.
So yeah, in the end, I don't think like we deserved anything from that game. We're lucky to get a draw out of it just because they were not clinical enough. And
right.
Ramsdale also made a key save, which prevented Neil Mopai from reaching for a tap-in. Otherwise, they would have scored for sure. And for us, I think it is sort of demotivating to, after the momentum that we had against Spurs and all of the optimism that we had, this sort of like waters
so
down.
So I said this basically, yeah. So it's only a start against Spurs.
But also, like, we should credit Brighton. They're having such a good season. And if they had won the game, they would be level with Chelsea in terms of the number of points. And so they are not, like, an easy team to play against. And we're playing away. So I think a draw is pretty much good for us, like, or as good as it could go, depending on how we played on the day. And it sort of, like, doesn't derail as much because it's not a loss. And since the last international break, when we were bottom of the league, we got 10 points from 4 games. And I think it's not many people would be expecting that we would be getting 10 points from those 4 games. So
it's definitely a
step in the right direction.
It's also, it says a lot of stuff about Norwich for some reason. I think because other than Norwich, every game seems to be very tough this season.
Mm-hmm.
I feel for Norwich. I don't know why. they are not changing their philosophy a little bit to get some points on board.
Yeah, they did get a point though this weekend or last weekend.
Who did
they?
They played
had a
Burnley,
draw against
so
Burnley,
they got a
nil, nil.
Goalless draw. Yeah.
So yeah, maybe they're changing something. I didn't watch
but
the game, but
again, this is only one game. They are still bottom of the league with only 1 point. This was their first point, so
yeah, I'm surprised to see Newcastle in 19th place. They seem to have been like playing well, but not getting any results. I think this Saint-Maximin misses, but usually he gets chances, but he doesn't end up scoring.
And I'm happy to see Wolves scoring points because they play really good football. And Hwang Hee-chang and Raul Jimenez, I think their partnership is working well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading something about the philosophy that the tactic that manager is going by this season is having Hwang Hee-chang score the goals. And Jimenez be the provider for him.
Yeah.
And it worked out in this game also. Got 2 assists. The first assist, I think, or first assist was really good for Hwang Hee-chang in between the lines.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he changed Jimenez. The direction of play. And yeah, it was a good assist. Both assists were good for Raul Jimenez. And Hwang Hee-chang, too, first season in the Premier League, he...
Yeah.
Seemed to have a calm shoulder on
yeah.
or calm head on his shoulders.
Someone
and,
to take the
finishes.
Limelight off Heung Min Son. Both South Koreans will have some competition among themselves now. And then the first game on Saturday was Manchester United Everton. I think Everton could have easily won this game if they took their chances.
Oh, they had a chance right toward the end.
When it was
Tom
an offside.
Davis,
he should not have passed and just shot. But he passed to Yerry Mina, who was offside. I don't know why.
Yeah, and then Yerry Mina too, I think, got overexcited. And he stepped over the defensive line.
But he's a defender. What, would you expect? The attacker should
position,
have shot?
Like, he should have just taken the shot. It's a big mistake and was a big opportunity missed to get the win
and
against United.
Credit to Everton also. Andros Townsend is in the form of his life, it seems like.
Somehow
he signed for free, right?
Yeah.
And then he's been scoring goals.
He has been influential player for them, and I think Benitez has him like play pretty well. I think he's also contributing a lot defensively.
Defensively, yeah. He works hard for the team.
Yeah.
For Manchester United, the goal by Martial was good, so at least Ole was vindicated in his selection. But overall, they didn't play as well. People were talking about as to why their big players were benched. Like, you take them, if they are too tired, you start them in big... and then, at least for teams like Everton, who are playing well this season, You start the big players and then you take them off once you have the lead.
Yeah, to mention...
both Pogba and Ronaldo were benched for this game.
Right.
What were you saying?
No, I was saying like, yes, a big decision by the manager, and ultimately I think it didn't prove the right decision. Although at one point it seemed like they will get 3 points when Martial scored, and thing looked pretty set for them to be at the top of the league. Ronaldo coming on from the bench, Sancho came on, Pogba came on. It's like, it looked like things are moving in the right direction for them until the run of Demaragre, who made the goal.
Demaragre, another signing who has been performing well. I don't know if you saw, but there was a funny incident also when Townsend scored. He did the Ronaldo celebration.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it was a B-Tech Ronaldo celebration.
He almost fell, I think, doing the celebration. But it was still funny. I liked that.
And I think Gray also had a couple of chances which were saved by De Gea. He didn't have too much power, but he was certainly
causing a lot of problems.
And the way, like, with the age that he was running at players, it was fun to see. like, he dribbled past, I think, Fred a lot of times.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Fred hatred again. people are not happy from Fred.
And for Manchester United, we, or at least I've been talking about Ole as not being like good enough for Manchester United just as a coach. And I think games like these is when I see that, they validate those people who say like that.
Yeah, I think I don't know why it just feels like he just leaves it to the players to do things.
Yeah.
And if you look at other in the top four, at least Tuchel, Klopp, and Guardiola all seem to have some form of tactic with them.
Yeah, like you and don't see things changing from substitution or early substitution, formation change or something. It's more like he's looking for that individual brilliance to shine through games and just individual quality to outshine.
And they have a lot. So that's even more surprising that they are they are top four, so they're not struggling, but the players that they have, they should be challenging for the title, right?
Yeah, and I think they are not too far from the top right now, but their results have always been close. Like, it's like, they may win or they can also draw. Yeah. They may also like lose the game.
Like
it's
they
like
beat Leeds by that high goal margin, but
yeah,
they can also then draw against Everton.
Yeah, draw against Everton, last minute win against West Ham, Aston Villa too. I think they did something in the last minute where he missed the penalty.
Yeah.
Bruno Fernandes missed the penalty, and yeah, so most of their games are like are game of fine margins. You say like they don't dominate the full game, and you don't see their style of play coming out. So it's been, I think it's third or fourth season for Ole, and we don't know what Manchester United is about in terms of creating chances, other than Pogba sometimes playing that beautiful assist, or Bruno Fernandes assisting or scoring from outrageous play, and
even so there was some stat, I think, even by the games that Ole has played so far, Mourinho at least got two trophies maybe so far.
Mm-hmm.
But he has not achieved a single one, even though the mood at least from the outside it looks like everyone is happy, players are happy, but surely a club like Manchester United, they need some silverware.
Yeah, and then this will be the key season. We talked about it at the beginning of the season as well, that he has to win this season to show it, and the way the season is going.
But we say that, but does their board think like that? Do we think he'll get fired if he still, if he manages to finish
top four and
not get any trophy? Would that be enough for the board? We don't know.
Yeah, fans will certainly not be happy with that, because that's what they've been talking about, where it's not good enough for Manchester United if they are not challenging. And for Ole, I think it's about the time where he gets his act right.
Yeah.
And also the manner of defeats or manner of the play, I think, matters a lot in terms of perception of the fans. And if they were playing like brilliant football and still had same number of points, I don't think like people will question much. But the way they are getting results, it's like 90th minute, they'll do something like Ronaldo saved them in the Champions League. Otherwise, they would be bottom of their group at this point and we'll be having a different conversation altogether. So
yeah,
it's just that they are playing this like fine margin games where sometimes it may work for them, sometimes it may not. And other competitor clubs like Man City, Chelsea, they have identity with them to go with, like yeah. Liverpool, they can change the formation, change the system.
All of these and managers, so at least like, the top three, they yeah. they can change their playing style based on the situation
right.
in the game. And the yeah.
So it's going to be tough for Ole, and I hope like he manages to come out of it again like he did so many times in his Manchester United career, where you think that he is all done and dusted and he might
on
get
the ropes,
sacked, but
and then suddenly he finds a bigger rope.
Yeah, and then suddenly like you see them winning like 3-4 games, like 4-0, 4-2 or something, and they're like, yeah, we're back. This is Manchester United, we're yes. back. Yeah, Ole's at the wheel. And then again the cycle starts itself, yeah.
Mutual what's the deadlock happens. Let's come back to this the surprise team of this season, Brentford, who played West Ham away from home, was looking like a draw until the 94th minute in injury time, when the substitute Johan Wisa scored the winner for them. I think he scored one other winner before also, or last like goal in the dying moments of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But Brentford getting this sort of a result at West Ham, who are already flying high,
yeah,
is a like I'm very impressed by Brentford. They play good. Like they don't seem to care about who they are playing against.
Mm-hmm.
They genuinely look like they want to win every game.
Yeah, they are definition of. Like team going above their expectations,
yeah.
but in style. So yeah. it's not like they're just putting 11 men behind the ball and
yeah.
getting results, like nicking like 1-0 win.
Yeah.
They are playing football and causing problems to teams with their energy in pressing yeah. and
it's like scoring three
well,
goals
so.
In the last weekend against Liverpool
yeah.
was a big thing. And then two goals against West Ham now. West Ham, I was a little unhappy because Antonio didn't do anything in this game. But for Brentford, Tony and Mbeumo, yeah, I think that's how you yeah. say his name. Their partnership is working really well. Tony seems to be playing a Harry Kane-type role at Brentford, like coming in deep and passing it to mm-hmm. the attackers. And his passing has been really good also. And then Mbeumo also has a lot of energy. He runs almost all of 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Got that goal. So Brentford, excellent result for them. They are in the top half of the table. I think that's where they aim to be. They are in seventh position now. I think they look like the Wolves when they got promoted.
Yeah.
Attacking
and Wolves
football.
Had their and, first season. Yeah. They were very much similar to...
Yeah.
They were difficult to play against, and they had some big away results as well in
yeah.
that season.
Can they do the unthinkable and do the Leicester? No.
No, not this season.
But then again, we say that about Leicester also. But I think at this point, that season Leicester were already top of the league.
Yeah. yeah, and at that season, like other teams were not as strong as they are right
yeah.
now. Where. This season especially, I think these three teams, Liverpool, Chelsea and Man City, they are all up for it
yeah.
and want to win the league. So for any club to challenge them would be very, very difficult, but also very, we should be appreciating if any club outside of the big ones
yeah.
are in the
Everyone
conversation.
Everyone likes an underdog.
Like, yeah.
So, a team who had done well previously in past some seasons, looking like they will be the team outside the top four to challenge the top four, but they are struggling right now, is Leicester City. They are on 8 points, I think, in the table. Yeah, 8 points from 7 games. So, they have been struggling. They drew against Crystal Palace. Something is not working right now for Brendan Rodgers at Leicester.
Yeah.
Jamie Vardy is still scoring goals for them, which is normal. But I can't pinpoint right now. Maybe I have to read more about what what's going on with the Leicester.
Yeah, I think I need to watch their games as well. I've not been watching just because they're not doing so well, and
yeah,
it's not something that you would want to see. I don't think they have any like result to know this season.
Yeah, I think the next game is against Manchester United, so that could be a good game to watch.
Yeah, maybe
watch.
That will kick them on to do something good.
But yeah, I mean, I would like to see Leicester do well. I like them as a team. They were the team who broke the mold when they won the Premier League. So, and their overall club structure also looks good. Also, like from recruitment to just manage grassroots training facility. I think they just had a new training ground. I saw on the news that they built a new training ground which with world class facilities. So, let's hope. They do well. Crystal Palace, your ex-player, he's doing well.
Patrick Vieira.
Yeah. He's still in 14th place, but still, at least he's getting points, 7 points from 7 games.
Yeah, they're getting results, so that's all it matters, I think, in the Premier League for clubs in that position where they'll be happy to be mid-table at the end of the season, and just picking up points is good. And Crystal Palace, they're playing well as well. I think their new signing, Odvard, he hit the bar as
Odvard,
well.
Odvard, yeah, he's doing well.
He's looking pretty good.
I'll plug my lone player, Conor Gallagher also, who has sparked, he's a young and runs around a lot, so he sparks that enthusiasm in other players also.
And then for them to come from behind against Leicester is also something to appreciate. You don't see
this always happens that Leicester's ex-player actually scored the second goal for Crystal Palace, Jeffrey Schlupp, who used to play for Leicester. How often have we seen this happen? Finally, in my notes, I had this news that I heard that I didn't know about any of this, but it just happened. Watford sacked their coach.
Yeah, somehow. It happened like a couple of days ago, I think.
Yeah. But I remember Watford are the team who does a lot of transfers when they were last in Premier League.
Yeah.
So, in a way, this was not surprising, but also like this manager promoted them to Premier League. He had been there for 14 months. I think even he was unhappy. He didn't know why this was done.
Yeah, I think Watford, they like to do things differently. Where they every season, I think they sack their manager, no matter who that is, and no matter if he's the same one who have them promoted. And they are in that cycle where they stay in the Premier League, get relegated, come back again, change the manager, and go get relegated again.
Very surprising. And they appointed Claudio Ranieri, Dilly Dong is back in the Premier League. I am interested to watch his press conferences. This was a surprise news that I heard.
Ranieri was in the Premier League last season as well, right? I don't know.
I think he was in Liga. Wasn't he managing? Or was it Serie A? I'm pretty sure he was managing a different league.
Okay, but after Leicester, I think he managed one Premier League club, right?
Did he?
Yeah, I think it was a lower-end club. He didn't do that great.
You're right. But
Fulham.
Fulham, okay. Oh, yeah. After 19. Scott Parker got...
But nothing.
he'll not do what he did at Leicester, of course. But
obviously. But yeah, even if like he manages to keep them up, I think will be an achievement.
Yeah.
Their season is going, and seems like they do have a good squad. And
that was the point I was coming towards, because I saw say things from a different perspective, from Watford's perspective. They said that. They believe that the players that they have got, they should be in, like, not be struggling for relegation, and they should be in mid-table, like, more solid club than they are right now. So you could understand both sides, but Watford are somehow in that position. They are always associated with this type of news.
Yeah, and so many people wondered about like who would be the first manager to get sacked, and they were
I didn't even talk about it. I think I know people wondered.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was. This was too quick for even
at
the...
At one point, I think Arteta was leading the race.
Oh,
then
yeah,
it
yeah,
became
yeah.
Nuno at Spurs, then Ole as well. But
and then this came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
This was like the Aston Villa signing Danny Ings news. That happened out of nowhere. Southampton, Southampton, another team who is struggling right now, struggling to get going. They still have not had a single win. If I'm right.
Yeah, and they played well against Man City and against Chelsea too. I think they were good. I think scoreline sort of like doesn't reflect how the game went, but they're doing like okay, kind, not like extraordinary.
They don't look
good,
like a relegation team even, but then also their points have not reflected that. So
right.
It's a strange thing. And outside of Premier League, Barca continuing to struggle against Atletico. But putting more salt to the wounds was Luis Suarez scoring.
Yeah.
But the surprising news was Espanyol beating Real Madrid. It was strange. So that gave, I think, things are looking juicy in the La Liga table. Real Madrid still lead, but by goal difference, I think. They're both them and Atletico are on 17 points. Cool. This game actually made me want to talk about Karim Benzema. He is like a talisman right now. Only he can change the result for Real Madrid, like, which is surprising to think. Like, when Ronaldo was at Real Madrid, you would not have thought that, but Benzema has turned himself into this type of a player. I think him and Lewandowski should be considered in the same... Like, if Benzema was playing at a different team, maybe he would have been regarded in a better
way. And there have been, like, talks of him leaving Real Madrid all the time. Since forever he's been at Real Madrid. And I'm not sure, like, how Real Madrid fans rate him, but he's definitely been there for... about a decade now.
I'm not sure how much time
he's been there, but
he seemed to have improved himself also. It's
not
just
his
goal scoring.
The game and
dribbling has improved. he plays like an actual world
He's a top class striker. And last season too, I think he carried Real Madrid, and it looks like he's doing it this season again.
So I think Real Madrid are now just looking forward to Mbappe coming. That's another news that's taking the headlines these days. I think he mentioned that he wanted to leave PSG last summer. That didn't happen. He can't wait to join Real Madrid.
Yeah, it's weird to have him like do so many interviews and talk about him leaving or just the club situation. Doesn't reflect that well from outside for his image, I think, but also... he's a new or he's a modern player and
he has that
kind
ego.
Of like expected. Yeah. Ego, I guess.
I mean, I feel like these players are surpassing even Ronaldo. So I know some fans of either of these players would not like it, but Ronaldo and Messi, both of them have egos. You see them.
Yeah.
But these players are surpassing even that. I think even Haaland has some sort of ego. If you see. Maybe that's what comes with the players of these.
Yeah, this generation is kind of different.
Spoiled.
With Ronaldo and Messi, like they have egos, but it's not like, you know, they are trying to force a move at any point in their career or like talking badly about their club.
Yeah.
And Ronaldo moved from United to
Real
Madrid.
He
never said anything.
He never had the...
anything bad about United and... Yeah, they carry themselves differently than players these days, I feel like.
Yeah, to give credit to Haaland, so far, at least so far, we have not heard this type of news, but Mbappe seems to be on another level right now. Maybe something has gone, like maybe he is not being treated right, so maybe he has a point, but still, it's strange.
Right.
And then I think we are done with most of the games. If you have anything else.
No, I guess just one quick thing. Napoli are still unbeaten in the
Serie A.
In the Serie A, and they have won all of their games. And it's not for the first time that they have had starts like this. So,
since Sarri was their manager, I think when they were almost close to winning the title, they just missed it. But good for Napoli. Roma are also doing well under Mourinho.
Yeah.
Mourinho seems to have ignited something in them. Tammy Abraham is doing well. I don't watch a lot of games, but I've been watching Tammy Abraham news. And then
the Serie A table looks very different now with Napoli and Inter, AC Milan.
AC Milan, I'm happy to see. They are like a royalty club.
Yeah, and then you see Juventus at seventh. It's like
Allegri is not having the same good fortune that he had when he previously was with Juventus.
Yeah. And yeah, I think Napoli are in like supreme form right now, and they have a young team as well. I think Osimhen, if you remember him from FIFA, he's having a good season.
And many people, I saw many clubs are monitoring his situation also, including Chelsea.
Nice.
One surprising I just saw, I didn't even know about this, that happened was Bayern Munich lost at home.
Yeah, against Frankfurt. Yeah, are not in good form.
That's Nagelsmann's first loss since taking over at Bayern. But of course, they'll still end up winning the league. But still a surprising... maybe they just do this once a while so people don't think that the league is rigged or something, you know.
Yeah. Leroy Sané is having a good season.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. It looked like his career might be...
Yeah, remember when he played for Man City?
Yeah.
He was a good player
He was very good for them, yeah. And he used to be injured quite a lot, but whenever he played, I think he showed that he can be a world-class player, and there were questions about his attitude, but I think now he has put all of that behind him and playing well this season.
Yeah. I still think if he still moves from any other club apart from Bayern Munich, he'll have the same problems. Some players are just made for some clubs, I feel like.
Yeah.
All German players do well for Bayern Munich. That's my 2 cents. this random headline that I just read. Barcelona, shocker, paid journalists, crazy commissions, mad bonuses. Nothing surprises me anymore. they are in deep trouble. In a way, I feel sad, but also I feel vindicated because what happened to us in Champions League semi-final, I'll never forget. So
then it's also with most big clubs, I think it's about cycles, like, but they go through periods.
This cycle
of,
has gone into the ground, and like this cycle is acting a little different from other cycles that we have talked about.
Yeah.
Like, Manchester United are not like this.
Yeah.
They have a Barcelona have a negative net worth, I just read. 2 days ago I was reading that Messi could have stayed at Barcelona if they had not signed
Griezmann?
Depay and other player.
Yeah, there are a lot of conspiracy Suarez. Theories as well. Yeah.
Not Suarez, sorry. Aguero. Mm. I don't know if Aguero is playing or not right now.
So, I think he got injured for 10 weeks or something.
I think he saw that he is not with Messi and he got injured.
But also with him, it's like not surprising. I think he has spent a lot of time in recent season just doing recovery.
Another news I just read, maybe this will be a final one, but the Newcastle takeover potential might be coming back again.
Oh,
I just read that headline. I think basically they will be owned by another country, like PSG. Wow. So let's watch for Newcastle to be champions or not. Maybe they'll dominate Premier League. I doubt though. I know if Newcastle were a team in league or some other league, it would have been easier. But Premier League is just so rich. At least the top six teams. Even if Newcastle gets taken over, they'll still have that competition at least.
Yeah, I think it will just make the league more competitive if any big investment or any big owner buys another club. And it won't be easy for anyone now, I think, with the way these top four clubs especially are set up now.
And even with that, you see Man City winning four league titles or something in the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Something like that, right? So
yeah, because for them, it's not just the player, but they also have the manager who's capable of delivering consistent results.
But I think, yeah, that was that.
And yeah, for Man City, I think, again, that's one point that they played it smartly too. So it's not just money can buy you everything. I mean, it's kind of is, but you also have to execute it in the right manner. Like, I think Manchester United have also spent similar amounts of money in
more than
last
than,
five seasons even. So, but they're not where Man City
but
is
you were
right
saying,
now.
Yeah, if, like, but yeah, if Manchester United had Guardiola, they would have won.
Yeah, then like they would be in a similar position. So it also matters on like what decisions you make with players and managers and other things.
That's that then. Think we are done for this week.
Yep.
Good talk, good talk. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for joining, Akshay. Before we go, where can people listen to us? You can just say all the platforms.
People can listen to us on all the platforms.
Yes.
Our handle is 2Substitutes, 2 with the number.
Yes.
And yeah, all the best for your rest of the week.
And this audio quality will be better. I like MacBook makes it easy. Apple makes it easier, at least. This area Windows can improve on. So
definitely.
All right, then. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good week. Have a good weekend, even though we don't have any games.
All right.
Bye.